Today's gospel might sound familiar to you. We just heard it at Mass last Sunday. Or, to be more precise, we heard a slightly different version of it. Today's version of the parable is from St. Luke's gospel, whereas last Sunday's was from St. Matthew's. Also, Matthew's version speaks about talents that get distributed among the servants rather than gold coins, but it amounts to the same thing. Whichever version we listen to, the parable requires a bit of sleuthing to ferret out its intended message. In addition, I'm a little leery of St. Matthew's use of the word talent because it can too easily lead us in the wrong direction. Listen again to the opening verses. Before going on a journey, a man summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. The one who received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. A common way of interpreting this parable is to ask, what talents has God given me, and how well am I using them? According to this explanation, that 3rd servant who took the talent he received and buried it in the ground was not so much an evil person as he was a schlepper, an underachiever, someone who failed to live up to his potential. But don't be fooled. There's more to it than that. In fact, if we understand the parable correctly, we'll see that overachievers run an even greater risk of misusing their talents. After all, many overachievers bury their talents under an avalanche of activity and good deeds. Where we get derailed in interpreting this parable is hearing the biblical word talent and interpreting it as aptitude. They're not the same thing. The servant who received 5 talents didn't receive 5 different aptitudes, and the one who buried the single talent in the ground didn't just waste the 1 aptitude he had. When Jesus spoke about talents, he was referring to an incredibly large sum of money. In fact, for the ordinary person, the value of a talent was almost unimaginable. Although it's difficult to estimate how much it would be worth today, for the sake of argument, let's say it's worth $1 million. If anything, it was probably worth more than that. That gives a whole different twist to the parable, doesn't it? Listen again to the paraphrase of the story using dollar figures. A man summoned his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave $5 million to invest, to another $2 million, and to another $1 million. Wow, what an extravagant entrepreneur. How many people do you know who would divvy up $8 million among 3 low-level employees to invest? That updated way of hearing the parable also tells us something about that lazy lout of a servant. It turns out that he's not just a schlepper. I mean, it's one thing not to develop your natural aptitudes. That's sad enough. But it's downright criminal to hide $1 million in a hole in the ground. The danger with confusing these 2 different meanings, talent meaning a vast sum of money, and talent meaning aptitude, is that it's too easy to make a list of our talents, check it over, and ask how well we use them. How often do we say things like, "She sure has a knack for organization. Thank goodness she's the chair of our committee. She's certainly not hiding her talent." Or, "What a voice he has. I'm glad he joined the choir. God is certainly getting a good return on his talent." But that's not what this parable is talking about at all. The gospel makes it clear that there's only one talent that God really cares about, and that's our talent for loving and serving others. Make no mistake about it. Come Judgment Day, God will not ask you how you used your impressive organizational skills or your captivating voice for singing. The only question God will ask is how well you loved while you were on earth. In that respect, none of us should be too cocky. I doubt if any of us loves as well as we could. On the other hand, neither should we be unnecessarily afraid like that third servant in today's gospel. There's probably no one among us who doesn't love somebody at least a little. In the end, the question is not how much or how little we love, just as it wasn't important in the parable whether the servants made an extra $5 million or only $2 million. The only thing that matters is that we do not bury our God-given gift for loving and serving others in some inaccessible cranny within our heart. For those of us who struggle to be good Christians, the Word of God is not meant to threaten or to frighten us. Rather, it is meant to challenge. Today's gospel challenges us to love better. In that regard, I don't think we should begin by asking, who should I love that I don't already love? That simply leads us down a path toward guilt. Rather, our starting questions might be, who do I already love? Do they know how much I love them? Or do I hide my love behind an avalanche of things I do for them? In the wedding ceremony, there's a prayer that says, love is our origin. Love is our constant calling. Love is our fulfillment in heaven. That's what it means to be a Christian. So forget about hiding your love for people in all the things you do for them. For today at least, or maybe for this entire pre-Thanksgiving week, why not try to find some way to tell them how much they mean to you? It may sound like a trivial thing, but as the parable teaches, if we are faithful in little things, then God will trust us with greater things. If we generously, even lavishly, exercise God's gift to us for loving others, then, come Judgment Day, God will smile and say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come now and share your master's joy. May God bless you and give you health.